Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hello and welcome to the fall season edition of the Outdoor Podcast, proudly created by bowhunterplanet.com. This show is really cool because it does focus on outdoor activities and other things people like to do in the outdoors, including hunting, camping, fishing, and all the above. So make sure you guys tune in for this great season coming up in our fall 2024 podcast. The show today is brought to you in part by Easton Archery, Gas Bowstrings, Trophy Ridge, Moultrie Mobile, Vapor Trail, Burris Optics, The Bow Hitch, and caffeine provided by Deer Camp Coffee. Now, on to the show.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Outdoor Podcast. I'm Tim, this is Dave, and here we are.
Welcome.
We got some good talks tonight, I think, man.
A lot of interesting topics tonight.
Guess what we're talking about.
Well, we got our mic covers in, so if you hadn't noticed, it looks nice.
I was going to say hunting, but you know.
Oh, we're going to get there. We're getting there, yeah. Little by little here, guys, little by little.
I love it. It's been a little while since we've sat down together, so
yeah.
This is good. We've been doing a lot of camping lately, but it's been an interesting week. We had the in Michigan. They had the yearly bear tag draw that happened. I think elk happens at the same time too.
Yeah,
but you don't expect anybody to really get that.
Yeah,
like 20 years worth of points or something like that in order to get it. But bear tag, I've been putting in for a while, and I didn't get it. Didn't expect to get it.
Got a point.
So I'm up to, I don't know, half a dozen or so. I think the area that I needed in, that I'm planning on doing it, I probably need like 10 to 13, depending on what year the draw is. But it was kind of cool because we had a buddy last year that drew. We did a hunt with him last year on his property. And what he was expecting actually is a couple other members that I know up at the hunt club. One was expecting to draw. Actually, there were two that were expecting to draw. One was not successful, but the other one was successful. But he's not using his bear tag, so he's going to actually transfer it to somebody. And that's how this whole like little story starts. So
interesting.
My buddy who did the bear hunt last year was thinking, you know, hey, it'd be great, you know, if you pull in this year, you know, I'd love to do a second bear hunt, right? So day comes, the guy pulls, he gets the draw, and then they're looking at the transfer stuff, and he realizes in order to transfer a bear tag, it's actually very specific. You have to be either under 16 years or basically terminally ill, and you have to go on this portal and you can transfer through, like anonymously through the state of Michigan. So they're calling around and they call me and they're like, hey, did your kids put in for a bear tag this year? And I'm like, you know what? I think I signed them up for the auto renewal on the app this year. I went, you know, cause I'm like, well, they're 14, 15 years old. So if I start now, by the time they're in their 20s, they could have a bear tag, you know, to use in Michigan. And so I'm like, let me look. I'm like, yes, they did. And we're all getting excited because my kid, can get transferred that bear tag. And one of my kids can hunt bear this year in Lower Michigan, which is amazing. And then we're reading the fine detail and they have to actually go and apply for the hunt. I did them points only. So I'm so pissed about it.
See, now I would think, just throwing this out there, but I would think it would be the opposite of that. Like, it wouldn't be 16. It would be like 60, 40 to 60. Because when you want an older person to get a chance to hunt a bear, when the younger kid's going to get a tag over time.
Yeah, I mean,
you know what I mean? It's weird.
Yeah, I think part of it is like getting kids into hunting, which I get that part of it.
Yeah, I just find that odd, though.
But it is kind of weird.
That type of thing.
There was a almost record bear shot a mile away from my hunting spot, and it was done by, I think a 9 or 10 year old
wow
that shot the bear because they were trained. It was their first hit that they applied, and they were transferred the tag and ended up getting.
That happens a lot, though. I feel like the biggest bucks are shot by kids in our areas and all that. But yeah, crazy. But,
you know, I do kind of get it. Under 16, you want to, you know, you want kids to be involved.
I mean, it's exciting if you have the opportunity.
The whole day was like we were at a high, then a low, then a high, then a low, and it's just like.
That was today.
Yesterday, actually.
Is what that's funny.
But it was, yeah.
So I have, I have 3 bear points because I pulled the tag in 2019 and I went and was unsuccessful. And then elk, I got 10.
Wow. So
I'm locking them in, baby. Another 10 years.
Years to go, baby.
That's what I said. I'm gonna get it eventually.
It could be sooner than that.
Well, I put in for it last year. I didn't get it. I tried.
Yeah.
But I still got the point. So I'm going to keep, you know.
Yeah. So I've been doing points only because, you know, I never thought about the whole tag transfer thing.
I didn't even know you could really do that.
Which you can't get it. I couldn't get it. It can only be somebody that's under 16. If I would have known that, I probably would have applied for one for my kids. But, you know, it's just one of those coincidences. But I'm starting to rethink this whole just points only anyway.
Yeah.
You know, the reason why I did it is because I really want to plan for the year that I pull a tag.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're doing it for so long. And I don't want to pull a tag in a year that I'm not ready to do it. Because you're talking about it. You find out in June.
Yep.
And then you're hunting, what, a couple months later. I want to be able to do all my research well in advance of that, you know. So that's why I do points only for right now.
But I feel like, you know, I would prefer... The simplest way to do this realistically would be to just plan a hunt in Canada and go do the hunt. Because, like, you're getting a tag.
Yeah.
And the bear population is very much way higher than what we have here. Yes, you got to spend a little bit of money, but it's I don't want to say it's a guarantee, but it's very close. It's like an 80% chance you're going to get a shot.
100%.
So, like, to me, it would be cooler to do that. And the reason is, excuse me. The reason is that you can go as a group and actually hunt. Whereas the Michigan thing, it's cool. I've done it. I did it with Kevin, and Kevin did it with me. But it's just the two of us. There's really no hunt camp. You can't really do a hunt camp because not everybody can get a tag.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
No, and we made it a little bit. You know, it was a very small group when we did it last year. There was 3 of us. It was a mini hunt camp. But the other part of it, too, is there's so much more work that goes into a bear hunt leading up to it with the baiting.
You got to have a guide that baits for you.
And we did it. I mean, we did a DIY and it was successful.
Yeah.
But it was like we had this pattern down where like those two guys would go out, you know, in the actual stand and hunt, you know, John shooting, Eric's with them. But I would sneak out in front of them or I would actually take them in. Mm-hmm. I would bait while they're crawling up and then come back. And then I would do that again to pick them up.
Yep. You know?
So we had this kind of schedule pattern, you know, worked out to be able to do that. But it was a lot to be able to do. And, you know, small army, if you will.
We did the same thing in Canada. So, John was there for that. That's what we do. Someone go in and bait while the other person gets in the stand. The baiter would leave. And then the bear would just come in because they would think dinner bell.
Yeah, I learned a lot, man. I almost call, you know. I like
the Cheerios, though, and all the Lucky Charms.
Yeah, we did
a lot of
cool
mush
stuff.
And the
I made my own cakes.
Oh, yeah, dude.
It was cool. I mean, at this point, I'm almost a masturbator. It's pretty cool. It's fun.
Corey's got drums up north in UP of just different foods, molasses, all stuff. He just makes this mixture, and he's like, all right, let's go bait. And I'm like, that's the bait. He's like, yeah, make it up yourself. And I'm like, really? All right. So me and Kevin go make these buckets of, you just take like big things and dump it in there. And he's like, oh, throw in a Twix, throw in a Twinkie.
We had the hook up a little bit because we have a buddy that works for a food, I won't say the name of the company, but he works for a food distribution company. And so they make food there.
Oh my god, that's
popular
great.
Snacks and stuff like
leftover
that.
Leftover
so
stuff.
We got
yeah.
all the like all the crap food, and we asked him for a little bit.
Yeah.
And we show up with the truck, or actually my other buddy shows up with the truck, and then he's delivering it to me to take up north. 300 pounds of just snacks that they're just throwing out in the garbage because they
that's
didn't
awesome.
Make the quality.
Oh food, yeah, yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I mean?
They do
like,
that all
it was
the time.
Crazy.
That's a good idea. Good use for it. Never thought of that.
Yeah, but it was fun, man. So you know, it's no bear hunts this year for us, but we are hoping, man. It was a pretty cool day. So
yeah. So next year, I guess I might try to pull in for that bear and elk next year because I figure I'm thinking in my head like might as well put in for the bear. I guess the worst case is you don't get it. The best case is you pull it. But you said, you got to be a little bit ready with vacation time and things because you need to go during the time you can go.
Oh, yeah. There's very specific times that they open and close. And you want to try to be able to pull first.
The first hunt.
Dogs run too.
Yeah, those dogs, man, they really, if they're in your area, you're in trouble.
Especially if you're up north on state property. Like where we were hunting, it's, you know, private property. Nobody's running dogs around there or anything like that. But you want to get it in the first round, no matter what you're doing.
The bear thing's hard with dogs because it's just, I don't understand how it works, because I feel like, you know, when Kevin didn't get his bear the one year, the dogs were on his bear and they shot it and we heard it. And it's like, how's that even possible? We're on private land. So they came onto our land. You know, they must have chased that. The dogs are going to chase. Their dogs are dogs, you know. I mean, they don't know where they're at.
Yeah, they're going to chase it, but I don't think they can shoot it.
I don't know if they did or didn't, because we heard it, but it was, we don't know how far away it was or whose land it was, you know. I know, that's what I'm saying. It was just very frustrating. And I told Kevin, we had that bear coming every day on camera, every day. And so we knew we were going to get the shot, but then the dogs ran that same day, and then that was it. Never saw it.
It's almost like the difference between archery hunting and then opening day a gun.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's...
Archery hunting, and there's not a lot of pressure or anything like that, but that opening day of gun, anything can happen because a deer are just being pushed around
everywhere,
you know. So pretty fun stuff, man. But I am kind of more and more looking forward to this year's hunting season. When you threw out the text this morning about
I just want to get the hunt
gates
camp.
I'm like, you know what, I haven't even thought
I know, but that's
it.
Why I want to throw it out there, because I figure I better get the conversation started.
Yeah.
Because you guys, no one's thinking about it, and that's the problem. Like, then we go, I can't go, and I can't go. And so, like, we need to get a hunt camp. Like, there's no hunt camp this year, because that's not going to happen. Like,
no,
I
100%, gotta, man.
We just got to figure it out. But I went, you know, I was there the other day. I drove through our airport where we hunt, whatever, and...
How's it looking?
Look good. Everything looks fine. Your blind's still there. I mean, good to go.
You changed out. Oh, no, we don't have the cameras over there.
No. Well, I got the cameras in now. The cameras are here.
We got to take them out.
We got our new Moultrie cameras, so thank you, Moultrie Mobile. But we got to get those put in. That's another reason we need to go early. I forgot. So we need to find a weekend to go.
Yep.
Get the stands prepped and then put the cameras everywhere. We have a lot of cameras, too, so I'm really excited to get those out. Moultrie was awesome. They gave us, like, an unlimited code. So, like... You can put as many cameras on as you want. It just goes against our sponsorship. I'm like, that's amazing. I'm like, let's do it. You know, so that's even
a really good company to work with.
Oh, awesome.
To be honest with you, super impressed about how easy the cameras are to set up.
Beautiful. You know? Yeah. It's quick data codes, you know, just everything's fast.
And the fact that you can Bluetooth connect it as well. You know, while you're there,
that was cool
the camera
to see what it looks at. Really you could cool. see what it sees. Yeah. I thought that was really cool.
I thought
cool.
that was really cool too. So I'm really impressed with the cameras so far and what they're capable of doing. And they've been a game changer. I mean, these cell phone cams have been a game changer for, you know, several years now, being able to prep your hunts, when they're coming in, what you want to do. And really, you know, you can land management too. Where are they coming from? What can you do, you know, to keep them a little longer? Where are they going? All that stuff.
Yeah, that's cool, man. That app's cool for it. Everything is cool about the Moultrie stuff. Very excited about that one. You know, it's just like I said, you know, when you start working with these companies and you realize, you know, how great these products really are when you never have touched one before, you're like, oh my God, this is really nice. And in the relationship you start making with these people, right? They're just good people. I mean, that's the other thing. You know, I've always just had this thing for people who are good people, like Bear Archery, good people. You know what I mean? Like very easy work. Hoyt, great people. You know what I mean? Like, so it's just one of those things where then companies who are not so good,
great people.
Yeah. Amazing people. But the people who aren't, you can tell. And then right away you're like, I'm good. You know, I don't want to work with that company. You know, it's just,
yeah. Yeah, it is. It is a struggle, man. Their personal relationships do drive.
It's hard. Yeah, it's hard. I mean, people, you know, have different thoughts. But anyway, all right. So, I did find an article I was telling Tim about right before we started. I think it's an interesting one to talk about, and it says Americans' attitudes towards hunting and sport shooting report identifies decline. So basically, a study that was done is saying that they found that the public is less supportive of hunting and shooting sports. The study found that public approval for legal hunting and shooting sports is at 76%, which is a 5% decrease since 2021, equating to approximately 12.5 million Americans basically decline, you know, like flipping. So
yeah, my first reaction,
5% down.
I don't think I'm that surprised the way that, you know, we're going politically.
Yeah.
There's a very big squeaky wheel, woke agenda, you know, going on in America right now. And this does not line up with their narrative at all. for the weapons side of it.
Yeah, that's the issue.
Or the eating meat side of it. I mean, you take your pick, but, you know, private land ownership, private land rights, you know, I just don't see, you know, the direction of where our politics going right now agreeing with hunting either. So I'm not that surprised.
It's very interesting, the part of it where the green movement, right?
Yeah.
The green movement, all that, but the organic part.
Yeah.
Where people are like,
yeah,
oh, it's organic and it's amazing.
The non-GMO.
So what's the difference in organic meat? It's organic. Like, if I go kill a venison, a deer, it's organic food. Like,
the
it's natural.
The difference is they don't want to associate killing with what they're eating. And when they buy it in a store, they don't have to. But when they look you in the eyes and they know that you killed something, they have a problem with that.
Yeah, it's very, very sus.
Yeah.
You know, I guess that's the word, sus.
Sus.
It's sus because they wouldn't be here if it wasn't for their ancestors doing that type of stuff. So it doesn't make sense to me. I find it very heartbreaking that in America we would look at the idea of not hunting and fishing sports. You know, I mean,
right?
The Second Amendment is just one of the most important things ever put in place to keep us safe, longevity. I understand there's issues with it. I understand people are having mental issues and have guns and there's issues. I get it. But at the same time, that Second Amendment protects us overall, which is much different than individual problems. And I understand that it still sucks and there's a lot of bad things that have happened, but you got to look at that as a numbers game. That is a very tiny, tiny, tiny pin needle to what the whole safety measure is for us protecting ourselves, to be able to protect ourselves from foreign invasion or internal invasion. I mean, it's more of a military thing, so I don't want to, like, militia, I don't know what the word is, but,
no,
you know,
you're right.
The government originally was smart enough to put that in place, because if someone was to invade our shores, another country, they're going to be up for a lot of fighting, because everybody's got a gun.
Right, and the way, I mean, the reason why they put it in place, I agree with you, that's the reason, but there's also a reason why they never thought about, you know, incorporating something else for gun rights, because it was like a God-given right. You know, self-sustenance, you know, taking care of ourselves, the American
protection,
dream,
just protection. You know, I don't,
that's all hunting, right? Yeah. I mean, like that's why I do it. I do it to fill my freezer first and foremost, you know, to take care of me and my family first, you know, and I'm going to be, you know, 100% honest. There's a lot of people, and I'm sure some watching the show, that you hunt because you have to, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure.
I don't know how many times, you know, and there's huge programs in Michigan for hunters to donate their meat because other families need that to survive. And some of those families are hunting themselves because it's a cheap way to get the protein.
Yeah.
You know, the food that they need that they otherwise maybe couldn't get.
Couldn't afford, know? Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, and so we have the resource for it. We just need to manage it correctly.
Yeah.
But I mean, that to your point about the whole green movement, they're all about conservation, right? Protecting the planet, protecting the environment.
I mean, if it wasn't for the hunters, the conservation would be nothing. I mean, it would be way worse. The companies would be shooting deer to sell the meat. You know what I mean? 100%. Like, think of that. I mean, it would be the conservationists are the reason that you have environments the way you do. Jackson Hole, Wyoming, you know, having Yellowstone, having all these protected lands is because of conservation over the years. I mean, you wouldn't even have that if you just left it to capitalism. It would have been gone.
It would have been gone. All the animals would have been
look
gone.
Look at the bison. It's a great example. They shot them all for bones and furs and left their meat. They didn't even take it, you know, back in the day. That's what would happen. I mean, it would just be a bloodbath. I mean, everything would be ruined that you love and know about nature. I mean, it would be... You can't rely on big money always wins. That's why in this case it doesn't, because of the conservation efforts that were put in place to lock those lands up.
Yeah, but
now,
of course.
Now, mineral rights, that's a different story. Oil pulling from those, I get all that. That's a big issue. I don't want to get into it, but I'm just saying that part of it I get there's a problem, but that's better than clearing the whole forest and killing everything. You know?
I mean, when we talk about hunters' rights and, you know, the sentiment towards hunters, you know, people are just so disconnected from our roots and where their food comes from and all that stuff. And
yeah, strange.
It could go either way. You educate people more on where their food comes from, maybe they'll go vegan, you know, because they don't like where it comes from. But that's where it's come from for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, man. Something has to die for us to live, and that's the way of life.
It's energy.
You know?
It's energy transfer. But I just can't, you know, I personally feel like the venison portion of not just venison, but turkey, wild turkey, fish, venison, that stuff's very organic in my opinion. It's very clean and natural without chemicals, without, you know, steroids. Most areas. Yeah, I'm not saying it's not possible. I get it. But, like, steroids, like, chickens get all the steroids 100%. And turkeys, and you're eating all that, you know, when you feed on those animals, basically.
Yep.
But, yeah, anyway. But, you know, here nor there. But, you know, again, protection's important. You know, everything about hunting.
We forget our roots.
But no one's promoting the roots. Right. That's the other issue. No one's watching this show on some major network and like, oh, Dave and Tim today are talking about how it's important to the conservation. You guys are watching on Carbon TV, which means you're an outdoor person already, right?
Preaching to the choir.
You're not the person we're trying to reach with this conversation. It's the person who is not a hunter, who's not. So share the video. Share it with your family who doesn't hunt. The ones who are like, oh, you can't hunt, it's bad.
Yeah, and get out there and join. I mean, there's a lot of conservation clubs out there that try to promote, you know, bringing people into the woods and, you know, promoting conservation. But not only that, you know, being advocates to our lawmakers when they're thinking about the laws that they're producing to be able to continue that tradition on for other people. That's super important.
So, Tim, what's your thoughts on the word when someone says to you or you hear this term? Because I heard it the other day and I really didn't know what to think about it because I was trying to think of myself and how I feel about things. But when you hear the word, someone says like something like someone say along the lines of like, tell the conservatives that or conservatives, basically, like what's your take on the word? Conservative.
Republican. Right-wing Republican. That's what I think everybody kind of gravitates to nowadays is they politicize it and they say conservative means that you're a Republican and that you're more right than you are middle. That's my take. Hmm.
Just curious. I feel like there's a lot of people in the country.
This isn't just a game. It's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, this is Steve Gorman, radio host, sports commentator, former drummer for the Black Crowes. The winter holidays are here, a time for festive celebrations, family gatherings, and ringing in the new year. Whether it's a holiday party, a night out with friends, or just relaxing by the fire with a few drinks, it's a season full of good cheer. But here's something else to add to your holiday plans, a safe and sober ride home. Just like in sports and music, always have a game plan. And the most important part of any plan is sticking to it. If you plan to drink, take that plan a step further. Call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or have a designated driver lined up before the night begins. Drinking and driving is a decision that can change your life and the lives of others forever. A DUI, a crash, an injury, the consequences are real and lasting. So please, for your sake and for everyone else on the road, make the smart choice. Get a sober ride home. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
And in the world, probably, who are just kind of like in the middle, not necessarily fully conservative or fully woke or whatever the other side is, the left, but like kind of in the middle. And they're just kind of like not sure about things, you know, like not necessarily they think that's right or wrong, but they just, you know, people around them talk and they're like, oh, yeah. But they're just saying that, right? Because they don't really know how they feel.
Well, make up a decision, man. You got to think about this stuff. You're either right or you're left. That's my, you know, you want my real opinion? Those are the people that aren't thinking. You know, you have not sat down in your life out in the woods by yourself today thinking about what your opinion actually is. Because you don't know, and that's why you're in the middle.
But being the person who sits in that field by yourself doesn't mean you're a conservative. That's what I'm trying to say.
No, it means
so people are trying to act like
you're a conservationist. You're a conservationist, not a conservative.
Yeah, okay. I am. I'm a conservationist.
Semantics, man. No, I was just ranting just to rant there, but yeah, there are a lot of people in the middle. I think you're absolutely right. More people.
I think the majority of people are in the middle. I think it's just the wave of, like, when we talk about voting and stuff, I think it, like, kind of goes,
you know, the thing is, too, I mean, that's a political thing. That's a thing that people can use for polling, and what do I need to say to capture this person's, you know, a thought so that they come to my side or they think that I agree with them so that they'll vote with me. I think I'm in the middle. You know, but well, to other people, I might not be in that.
My whole conversation with this, like, or bringing this up the way I did, is this thing, 5% decline. Okay, why is it a 5% decline? Because the people are going, you know, from a conservation feel to a more like don't care, but they don't, that's what I'm saying. Does it have anything to do with conservation? Because I don't think it does. I think it has to do with shooting sports, and people are getting a bad taste for shooting because of all the issues.
What this said, right?
Like, yeah, I guess you have to read the whole thing. Yeah.
What was the population of people? That's the thing about polls and all that stuff is, like, I've done statistics work before, and you can manipulate numbers 10 ways from Sunday to make it look like what you want.
What you want to see, yeah.
So it's not.
So it's a bunch of baloney. It could be malarkey for all we know.
All polling is baloney, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we're never going to know.
Except for ours, if we put one up.
If we put a poll, it's legit.
Yeah, we really want to know who you are, you know?
Who are you?
Who's the best archery company out there, you know?
Okay, so let's talk about golf carts since we're kind of like shift here a little bit.
That's a big shift.
This golf cart, it's outdoor related, so this golf cart search I've been doing has been terrible.
Well, explain to everybody why
you've
been doing a golf cart
search. So we got recently got a property that is a community camping property, and it's got a lake. It's got a lake and everything, a couple lakes actually. And you can like use golf carts in the community. You can ride around, use them to go to the beach, all this. So my wife has been really pushing me, like, we really got to get a golf cart. I don't want to be driving cars around there. I just want to take the golf cart and go to the pool or whatever, not the pool, but the water lake house. I'm like, okay.
So I drive out behind her and honk the horn.
So I'm like, all right, so let me look into it. You know, so I've been searching. Golf carts are ridiculously priced right now. They are through the roof.
Yeah.
Literally minimal. I would say the cheapest thing I found was probably around $4,500. You're talking like a 2020, you know. It might not need much, but something, right?
But new on average, they're probably
new's like 7 10. Grand. No. 10, like 10.
For a four person.
10.
One. Yeah, for a four.
Like I'm talking 9,000, like $10,000.
Like the golf course golf carts that are just basic is
but
what I mean.
Yeah, you're right. Probably around 8 brand new or something. I don't know, but it's still a lot. Yeah. It's not nearly a
but yeah, 10 grand.
So for Kevin,
like 4-seater for sure.
Kevin is out west right now, and the kids they saw a golf thing. And there's where they sell golf carts, like a huge thing, right? So I told Connor, like, "Oh, you know, so check this out." So I said, he sends me this. Look at this.
9 grand.
Look at the year though. 2013 precedent, four lifted.
Holy cow.
$9,000. And so I'm like, wow. And then here's this is probably it right here. Okay, yep, it's nice looking. And then you go to this one.
They are nice looking. They look brand new.
Look at that one. So this one. So 2018 for $7,500. So as you can see, right, it's got the lights.
Electric or gas?
These are all electric right here. And in the background, you didn't even show the ones that I really wanted to see because they're too much money. Like back here, this green one. Look at this. Sorry, guys. I know you can't see this, but look at that. 10.5.
Wow.
See that?
Yeah.
That's a newer looking one. Okay, so once he told me all this price, I'm like, damn, this is not. I might as well just go to Lowe's and get the Caddy one for $9,000. They got a nice one there. It's beautiful. Lithium battery, you know. I'm like, but still a lot of money.
Or whatever.
Well, no, it's called Caddy, the one up there. It's a new brand. But I was like, you know, I don't know. So anyway, so I've been searching Facebook Marketplace, like literally deep diving this for weeks. And then today I saw a girl posted one for $3,500, and it was a 2012 Cub Cadet. Like golf model, no backseat or anything. You know, we still have to do all that. So I'm like, I'll give you $2,500, and it's hard to negotiate with these right now because they're so high value that you really can't get a deal. And so she said, well, the lowest I really want to go is $3,100. And I said, well, listen, I said, if I can pick it up, if you want me to pick it up today, I can come literally within the hour for $2,800 cash. And she said, yes. So I went and grabbed it, got it. And it's awesome. Like, it's great. It's fine. And I asked the guy, her dad brought it, you know, and he's like, he drove it there actually, which is funny to pick up. And he said, I asked him about the batteries. He's like, oh, you're good. He goes, these batteries will last a long time. He goes, because my neighbor's got one. And he said, just, you know, swap two batteries every summer and, you know, get two new batteries.
Are they just car batteries?
Yeah. They're like Trojan, like big. Yeah, there's eight of them, you know, so eight times.
It's a Magnum, not Trojan.
The most advanced range-finding bow sight is now even better. Introducing the Oracle 2 from Burris. Based on customer feedback, we improved the pin brightness control, refined the LRF adjustment system, and brightened the aiming ring. There's still no glass to scratch, fog, glare, or break, and the fail-safe 20-yard pin has your back no matter what. At the push of a button, you instantly get the yardage to target. Extend your ethical distance with the Oracle 2 from Burris.
but East and match grade shafts undergo a far more meticulous straightness check with razor tolerance at both ends, the center, and the critical quarter locations. Discover the ultimate in precision and made in USA quality. Visit your authorized Easton dealer and pick up your Easton Match Grade Pro Shop Series arrows today.
Established in a small town in Kentucky in 1981, a company that produces quality products that archers have come to rely on. I started shooting with a Scott release and have passed the tradition on. As I've aged, the company I started with continues to innovate and produce the premium products it always has. My dad always told me, never forget where you came from. Well, I haven't. Shoot with confidence. Shoot a Scott.
For more than 20 years, Trophy Ridge has developed tools that bow hunters trust and continue to lead the way in bow hunting innovation. Our field-proven products dish out dirt naps all over the world. We've manufactured and sold millions of products along the way, each one strategically designed to give you a distinct advantage in the field. From the backyard and competitive courses, to the backcountry and Midwest cornfields, our products remain lethal, accurate, and continue to help you react to the situation at hand. Trophy Ridge accessories give you confidence, regardless of the situation. Our sights, rest, stabilizers, quivers, and releases set you up to be successful season after season. There are plenty of factors to think about on the hunt. Your gear shouldn't be one of them. We're Trophy Ridge, and we build the tools that bow hunters trust.
We are outdoors people. Boating, fishing, hunting, and we are coffee lovers. My husband and I, we met at a coffee shop about 20 years back. So we've grown to love different blends, different beans, and different types of coffee. And throughout our time together, we decided that we wanted to create something for ourselves. So that's where this all came into play. And it's not just an outdoorsman, it's women, men, children. It's the community that come in here and they like it. They sit down at our cafe. They might have a venison hot dog, a cold brew coffee, and they enjoy their time here.
I know what you're getting at with that, but I don't know. I think they're called Titan, but for the older viewers, you know what he's talking about. So anyway, and it, you know, came with a charger and all this crap. So now what I'm doing is buying the light kit, buying the back seat, and then eventually, you know, we'll be able to ride around it up north and, you know, it'll be fun.
You'll go your 15 miles per hour. I'll pass you on my bike.
Yes, you will pass me on the bike. No doubt about it. It's not fast at all. It's smooth and slow.
I know.
But the kids really wanted one. They like to ride around that. I'm sure when the kids are there, they're going to take it and go. Yeah. Your kids and mine together.
Well, I mean, I'm all for that.
And when it's got four, they can go ride around and go to the beach and whatever, you know. So it'll be fun. And you know, like I said, I don't know what the plan is yet with it. I don't know if we're going to leave it up there and anybody can use it, or if she wants to, you know, if we're going to use it here. I don't know what she wants to do. I'm assuming we'll leave it up there. I mean, that would be the ideal idea. But if we do...
You have a little golf cart community around here, don't you?
Kind of. That's what I said. There's a lot of people use them in here, too. That's why I said I don't know what her plan was overall with it. But she wants it for up north. So I just don't know if she meant, like, keep it there. Because here's my concern.
Well, Shannon, you need to come up north.
That's what I said. Here's my concern, though. Getting it there in the roof. Like, I don't want it blowing off and breaking, so I'm trying to, like, okay, well, I don't want to be taking it back and forth all the time, because that's a lot to deal with. I'm going to have to, like, triple strap this thing
so the roof don't blow off. I mean, as soon as I saw it, I'm like, oh, we're getting another enclosed.
Oh, eventually. We're still getting a bigger one. Yeah, I mean, it'll fit eventually. I don't plan to leave all the four wheels all the time. Man. That's just once in a while.
You need to upgrade. What you need to do is upgrade your camper to,
I know.
To a toy hauler.
I want. Yeah, that's a good idea. Just pull it right in the back.
Exactly. And then you're good to go.
That's a good idea.
You know, you got your own personal enclosed. You don't have to worry about it at all.
The funny part is you said about downgrading. I thought you meant, like, because I got that truck and it's a downgrade. That's why I was like, whoa, how'd you know about the truck? I'm like, that's weird.
About the truck.
The engine's a downgrade something. And how do you know about that?
I love it.
So, yeah, it's been a crazy couple weeks. You know, it's a weird time, guys. You know, when you guys are watching this, it's probably going to be about August. You know, it's like we're in this lull in July. We're in a lull. And it always is for outdoor content and space. It's kind of a waste of time. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, like, well, that time frame. You got a lot of people taking time off because they just slowed down from, you know, the big push from all the shows. And they're starting to gear up for the fall time. But, you got a lot of people that are in this industry that end up taking a little bit of lulls.
The issue you have is during the lull time, you'll get a couple companies who are like, oh, we're going to launch in September. You need to have content to us now. You know, so you'll see a lot of that happen. And so we will have that. That'll drop in. But that's okay because, like I said, I think if we could pick a weekend to go north anyway or west to get some things done, maybe spend one night, you know, that'd be fun and we can hang out. And then at the same time, or we can go there, then go north, you know. To the campground, if that's something we can work out in a triangle,
we'll get over there on a Friday and then head up north.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of options there, you know, could do that too. So, anyway, all right, guys, well, that's it. I know we kind of went all over the place, but, you know, we'd love to hear your opinions as usual. If you guys have comments, you know, comment where you can on our content about any of these topics, because again, if there is a decline, which I can see that happening, you know, how do you fix it? How do you flip it around? You know, we don't have you need more superstars in the sense of like,
protest in the streets, man.
Nah, you need like the what was the sniper guy's name who died? Kyle something?
I thought you were going a different direction.
No, you need like heroes. You need like heroes that are also outdoors. Like Chris Pratt. Like a Chris Pratt person who's promoting archery, not just archery, but outdoors, lifestyle, you know, meat eater, that type of stuff. You need to keep that going, you know, so that it becomes very popular.
We need good spokespeople.
Real quick, we'll leave this with a couple things that we've like some shows and music we like. Newest music I've been listening to is Benson Boone. This guy's amazing. So something, just check him out. You guys get a minute. Different type of music, but really good. And he has like, I noticed like three or four of his songs are so good. I'm like, wow, this guy's better than I even thought. One song was one thing, and then two songs another thing, and then all of a sudden two more. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. This guy knows what he's doing. How about you? Anybody?
I'm stuck on Matt Carney, man.
Still on Matt Carney?
That new album.
Jeez.
Every time.
But take a break.
I know, but I haven't taken a break from it. It's a really good album, this one, that just came out. So, check it out.
Shows and movies. Any shows or movies you've seen?
Not really.
I'm going to go ahead and say the latest. Go ahead.
No, I will. I was going to say this. I started rewatching How I Met Your Mother.
Ooh, I've never seen that, actually.
Dude, it is the best
sitcom really?
Ever.
I've never seen
ever.
That show. I just saw a thing about it, though.
It's the third time that we've rewatched it in our house because we like it that much.
That's awesome. I just finished the House of Dragon, the latest episode. That was really good.
It just came out, yeah.
The Targaryens, and I actually then started watching Game of Thrones again because I wanted to see the area when they're with the ice dragon, with the ice dragon,
yeah,
and all that. Because I was like, I wonder, I can't remember how the dragon died. Then I like threw died? The, you know, you threw the spear and it hit it. And it, did you watch the show?
Yeah.
I watched it. I wasn't sure.
But some of those people.
Oh, too bad. Sorry, spoilers. Spoilers alert.
From
too
10 late. Years ago.
Too late. Yeah. What else have I watched? I'm trying to think if there's anything else good. Oh, I've been watching this show on Freevee, I think it's Freeview. It's like Amazon owns it. It's a yellow one. Anyway, they got this show. It's called like Greatest Frontiersman. And it's like a doc. It's not a documentary, but kind of like it's like actors, but then they tell the story of like, was it Boone Crockett or Boone something? All those guys, like the famous
Davy
people.
Davy Crockett.
They got
Daniel Boone.
Yeah, yep. I mixed them up. They got the Glass, Hugh Glass, the guy that movie was about. Reverend.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, they tell their actual stories, like the bear attack. They tell like all these important people who lived, and you would be amazed by what these people. I mean, how true of outdoorsmen they were. Like these trappers back then were unbelievable, man. They would walk like 100 miles through the densest forest, you know, the Continental Divide. I mean, you name it. These guys are walking on foot by themselves through the forest, having little campfires with a musket, fighting off Indians. I mean, it's crazy.
Something we can never do now.
No, I mean, I'm like, how did this guy survive this stuff, you know?
Well, and they got famous for a reason, right? There wasn't probably a ton of people back then that did what they did. There was way more of them. But those people got famous and became myths.
But they had these like interesting camps. So these trappers would come to these camps and they would trade and, you know, play cards and have jerky and have campfires and talk and drink or whatever.
The real hunk.
Then they go off and then they come back to those camps. That's how they're like, oh, did Jim come back? Oh, Jim hasn't come back. It's been 2 weeks. He's expected back, you know. Then they, you know, they go search parties for him. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy.
You find out Jim shacked up with a goat and hasn't come back. And he got married and he ate some wild berries that made him crazy.
Dude, they ran a lot from the Indians, dude. That was like a big deal back then. Trapping and stealing hides from beavers and stuff. That was like, if they caught you on their territory, they would kill you. You had to fight. I mean, it was not like, it's not like they say, hey, how you doing?
There were no conservation laws back then to protect them.
Mm-mm. Oh, no. They trap as many as they could. Yeah. And, you know,
on other people's land.
One guy, they got caught by the Indians. They were on the canoe and they were going down. They turned a corner and they're just right there with their bows and they made them, you know, dock. And the one guy just tried to run. They killed him. The other guy, they stripped him naked, and they said, run. We're going to give you a head start, and then we're going to kill you on foot. They're all on foot, though. They weren't on horses. So he starts running, and all these guys start chasing him. You know, after they give him, like, you know, 50 yards, and they start chasing him. The youngest of them actually catches up to him after a while. But the guy is so, like, strong and, like, been doing it so long that his stamina is unbelievable. Like, he's just literally outpacing these guys by, like, and he's barefoot, and he's just, you know, never stop and never turn, and now you're getting tired. He gets, like, 400 yards from the party, but one guy is catching him, like one kid. And so he decides to turn and face the kid. Kid comes at him with a spear. He just deflects it and kills the kid instantly because he's been out. You know, he's like a warrior, and he's been there.
Yeah.
So then he goes. Then, of course, the party finally comes up on the dead kid, and then they're mad, right? He's like a teenager. They're, like, mad now, so they're still searching for him. He's still got to run. He just jumps in the river, man, and just swims on a log, like, for miles. You know, I'm just like, this is crazy stuff, man.
What a life.
I can't even imagine. But anyway, check that out on Freevee. And, you know, like I said, have fun. We'll see you guys. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning into the show today. We hope you had a good time. Please make sure you hit that subscribe button and like button where you can. You can find us all over every platform. And don't forget to join our membership programs. Have a lot of fun with the community here and have a chance to win some really cool products. We'll see you soon.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at USAHockeyNTDP.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.